Amen. Glad he rescued me. Amen. Psalm 33. I know what time it is. Psalm 33. I was, when we were kind of running late, so I always like to say, you know what, here's what we'll do. I'll make a, not a deal with you, but give me till 15 after. Everybody good? I'm talking about the whole service. We'll be done, baptisms and all, about 15 after. So that means I'm going to preach. You can time it. Right? I'm usually like a 35-minute preacher. I'm going to preach for 20 minutes. So now everybody sit back and feel comfortable. Everybody breathe a sigh. And I know we have some... I'm looking forward to the baptisms this morning. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Amen. And the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our nation. Lord, we are so thankful for the men and women who've given their lives in order that we might have the freedom to meet here this morning. I pray, Lord, that You bless the reading of Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. God has blessed America, and there are many reasons why, but one of the greatest reasons why is because our founding fathers founded our nation upon the Judeo-Christian principles of the Word of God. And most of the America's existence, those Judeo-Christian principles have been revered and practiced. And we see some shying away from those things here in the last 40 or 50 years and getting away from those. But I'm thankful that our nation was founded upon the Bible. Honestly, it was upon the principles of the Word of God, and God has blessed this nation because of it. An interesting thing, too, I like somebody said this, actually, Curtis Hudson, I don't know where he found this at, he said, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold, but North America was founded by men who were seeking God. And God blessed this nation because men and women were seeking freedom to worship as their heart would let them. Thirdly, we think about why God has blessed America and continues to bless America in spite of the things going on. It's missions. Missions. America is still the greatest mission-giving country in the world. And as long as that holds true, God will continue to bless America and continue to rain down His blessings upon it. And then fourthly, and you can come up with some on your own, I know that, there are more than just three or four, but also because of the salt that remains. I'm thankful for many Christians in America, that there's light in America. There's no doubt today, if you were to take all those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, if you were to take all those who are a part of the family of God and snatch them away in a rapture out of America, America would be done. There's still enough light. There's still enough remnant, and though maybe small in this day and age, there is enough salt here to make a genuine and make a great difference. And so we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity and the privilege that God allowed me to be born in this great nation. You say God allowed it? Yeah. I mean, the Bible makes that very clear, that God hath appointed the days in which we'd be born and the times of our habitation. We see that in Acts 17 when Paul preached on Mars Hill. God appointed that. God determined that. And so we ought to be thankful to God for that. And imagine where else you might have been born. God bless America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Skipping some notes. God has given us so many great things in this nation. And God has given us a blessed nation beyond comprehension. Amen. The richest nation in the world. Our poor people are rich compared to most nations in the world. And it's just an amazing thing. And there are many other reasons, and I have a lot of them written down. But one of the influences, someone who influenced the America early on was Roger Williams. He pastored the first Baptist church in America, and there's some debate upon that, but relatively early on, before the Declaration of Independence, he said, every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. This is from a Baptist pastor. And by the way, there were four influential Baptist pastors who influenced the Declaration of Independence, who are given credit for the separation of church and state being in that, being in our Declaration of Independence. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
And now the courts have turned that that particular thing around and made it what it was not intended to be. By the way, The clause is not necessarily found in the Declaration of Independence. It's found in another document, and it was never intended. The intention was that America would never set up an institutional church for America, like England had. And so, but it was never intended to be a law that we could not influence our schools and influence our politicians, and that Christian principles could be taught in our public school. And I would tell you, in the beginning, they were. And up until 50 years ago or 60 years ago, they were. Those principles were taught to varying degrees, but were taught all across our nation. Our nation would be better off if we put them back in. And it's the atheistic, humanistic, socialistic society we live in today who've cut it out, and to their own detriment and to society's own detriment. And you say, well, I like that, you know, well, every community ought to be able to dictate what's being taught in the school. We ought to take the federal government out of it. And I'll get a little political. Federal government ought to have nothing to do with the school systems. And there shouldn't be an educational board. I know we have some school teachers here. I understand that. But it should be left to the individual cities and individual school boards to make up. And that would determine what's being taught. And you could be able to teach biblical principles in your local schools without hesitation. So I'll get off my high horse. Here we go. I believe in America's exceptionalism. And that is not very popular today either. And our former president didn't like that. And I'm telling you, today America is the greatest nation on earth. Period. It's the greatest nation on earth because God's blessed it. And because it was founded upon Christian principles. And because of churches in America who continue to share the light. And because of Christians and Christian families who continue to be salt and light here in America. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. What a great country we live in. God has blessed America. We look at Psalm 33. He says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, and praise in the company for the upright. Praise the Lord with a harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Miss Linda used to have a psaltery, didn't you? Yep. You still have it? Sorry, we were having a conversation. By the way, the Bible speaks of playing stringed instruments. Anyway, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The God who blessed America is the God who should be praised. Let us sing unto him a new song. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a new song? By that I mean, do you have a song in your heart? Do you ever find yourself just singing to the Lord? You know, you're in your car going to work and all of a sudden you're singing one of the songs from church Sunday, you know? You're looking around after a while to see if anybody's seen you, what you're doing. Somebody think you're crazy. You just sing around the house. Do your kids ever catch you singing around the house? You know, not some country song. I'm talking about singing praises to the Lord. Man, we ought to sing unto him. God's blessed us. Our nation and us individually, we ought to praise him. We ought to praise him. God, who's blessed America, is the God who created all things. Look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Were the heavens made. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. He spoke the world into existence. Say, preacher, you really believe that? I believe it without a doubt. Not one single fiber of my being doubts that God created all things. The whole creation witnesses that there is a creator. Right? The sun is a circuit-riding preacher reminding us that God created all things. We did not evolve. I always say, you know, if we evolved from monkeys, then why don't we still have a tail? You know, if we're evolving, if we're getting better, then I want a tail so I can open a door when my hands are full. So if a tail is evolving, then we should have kept some of the things to help us. It would have been essential to have a third. I just want to remind you guys, we're not evolving, we're devolving. This planet's not winding up, it's winding down. And so is mankind. God created all things by the word of his mouth. I believe he created in 6 days, six literal 24-hour days. I believe on the seventh day he rested, not because he's tired, but to set a pattern for us that we are to set one day aside to rest and to praise the Lord. Not that we shouldn't praise him every day, but as days set aside, I'm thankful you're here today, setting aside that day for him. He gathered the waters of the sea, verse 7, together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses, that all the earth fear the Lord, that all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The God who blesses America is the God who should be praised. It's the God who created all things. By the way, he's still holding all things. By him, all things consist, the Bible says. He's the glue that holds it all together. Right? Philippians says, Acts 17 again says, in him we live and move and have our being. You're breathing today because God. The God who blessed America is the God who sent his Son to die for our sins. Keep your hand in Psalm 33. I'm just going to have you turn to one verse. And I know it's a hard one to find. It's over in Peter. I'm sorry, 1 John. Kind of back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9. The God who has blessed America is the God who should be praised. The God who created all things and continues to hold all things by the word of his power. It's the God who sent his Son to die for our sins. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Aren't you thankful for that? And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The covering for our sin. Propitiation. Propitiation simply means covering. I'm thankful today that my sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. That when Jesus Christ came, that he lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. Never one time did he have a sinful thought. Never one time did he perform a sinful deed. He was sinless in disposition. He was sinless in desire. He was sinless indeed. Sinless man. The perfect man. And Jesus Christ lived that 33 and a half years in perfection. And yet he allowed those Roman soldiers to take him. He allowed the Roman soldiers. In fact, the Bible, Jesus said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. He laid himself down on that cross and allowed them Roman soldiers to nail him to it. See, the Roman soldiers didn't kill Jesus. Amen. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. He laid himself down. He could have called a host of angels to take him off the cross, but he didn't. The Bible says he looked through time. He saw you. He saw his seed. He prolonged his days. He died for you. He died for me. He shed his blood on Calvary in order that my sins might be covered. He sent him to be a propitiation for my sins. By the way, not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And he died on the cross for sins that he had not done, but for the sins we committed. The Bible says the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That Jesus Christ took the sins of the entire world upon himself. And there he paid for my sins in full on the cross of Calvary. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. All have sinned, the Bible said, to come short of the glory of God. We're all selfish by nature. We're all selfish by nature. I love us reading somewhere this week where a dad said to one of his kids, I don't have to teach you how to do wrong. He says, I got to teach you how to do right. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. They'll do it all, they'll do it naturally. It's natural to us to do wrong. We have to be taught to do right. And I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ came and died for me. And that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I became a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful when I got saved, I received a new song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I'm thankful when he saved me, a change took place. I became a partaker of the divine nature of God. In other words, I received a new nature, a nature that wants to do right, a nature that wants to live right. Amen? If you're saved this morning, one of the distinguishing marks of someone who's accepted Christ as their Savior is they want to do right. They want to live right. And the Holy Spirit inside of them enables them to live right and do right. And if you don't have that unction within you, if you don't have that pull within you, if you don't have that still small voice within you encouraging you and helping you to do right, then you're not saved. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And I want to encourage you this morning, and I beg you this morning, accept Christ today. Amen. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to partner, if you would, or to develop and to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest decision you will ever make is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. The greatest decision you'll ever make. There are many here this morning. I know in this crowd there must be someone here who is lost, who's never accepted Christ as Savior. I pray today you get that you'd accept Him. God has blessed America, and that God is to be praised. God has blessed America, and that God is the God who created all things. He is the supreme being in the universe. He's sovereign. He's a sovereign God. And that same God came and died on the cross for us. You better not trust in other things. And that's what the rest of this book says. Look at verse 13 with me. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the places of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitations of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king that's saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. And what we hope in Him? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth before the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. The God who blessed America is the God whom we should hope in. It's the God we should put our trust in. For salvation? Absolutely. Because it's God who sent His only begotten Son to die for us. By the way, John also says that God was manifest in the flesh. Right? God who became flesh and dwelt among us. See, we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. God became man and died for us that we might have everlasting life. We could trust in Him. Christian, this morning, the God who blesses America should be trusted. Not the king, not President Trump. I said this a couple weeks ago. Better not put our trust in the president. He's not to be trusted. What is it? It says, don't put your trust in horses. Don't put your trust in strength. Put your trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, more than ever today, we need to trust and put our hope in the God of creation. Who are you trusting today? Who are you, or what are you trusting for your eternal salvation? Are you trusting some good deeds? Are you trusting some baptism? Are you trusting some church membership? Are you trusting maybe that I was born a Christian? I had a lady tell me here just a few weeks ago, she said, I was born a Lutheran. I said, how can you be born a Lutheran? Listen, we're not born Christians. Amen. We're born lost. We're born selfish. We're born sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. And whether you're Lutheran or Baptist or Methodist or whatever it may be, a denomination is not going to get you to heaven. Amen. Better not trust in that. We put our trust in the Lord, believing and trusting in His life, His death, and His resurrection. Are you saved this morning? And Christian, life can be hard. Who are you putting your trust in? I'm not putting my trust in the government for my life. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, only trust Him. Only trust Him. God has truly blessed America. Great sacrifices have been made in order that we might have the country we have today. Many men and women have given their lives. And let us remember this morning the sacrifice that's been made so we can meet today, so that we can have this great country. But let's remember who blesses America. And may God continue to shed His grace on the United States of America. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love. God, what a blessing it is to be saved, to know You as Savior. I pray today that if there's someone here who does not know You, they might get saved today. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings upon America. I pray that You continue to bless. Lord, I pray for Christians this morning that we might put our trust in You, put our confidence in You, not in our strength, not in our wealth, not in the government, but God, help us to put our strength in You. Help us to bring our burdens to You. Help us to lay our cares upon You, because we know You care for us. We thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.